Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music again. What a blessing it is every time we come to church. We just so appreciate the music of the church here. And we're actually going to see tonight how that is no doubt God's plan for worship as we come together and to worship the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. We've been in a study on the life of King Hezekiah. The life of King Hezekiah, and what a tremendous blessing it has been in studying the life of a man that God worked mightily through to salvage the kingdom of Judah. And he comes on the scene right as Judah is getting ready to be taken into captivity, Assyrian captivity, that Israel, the northern tribes of Israel have already been or taken into captivity. And King Hezekiah comes on and one of the very few godly kings. And God has recorded how he was able to turn Judah around to be able to defeat one of the greatest armies this world has ever known at that time, the Assyrian army, only with the help of God, but they had to restore the help of God. And so we've been studying this, and I trust it will be a blessing to you because these very same principles that we're learning and how that Hezekiah was able to restore Judah is exactly the same steps that we need to take to be restored. The same steps that we need to take if we want God's blessings back upon our marriages, God's blessings back upon our home, our church, our nation. And so we find this, God's recorded this for us, and I trust that we've already been helped by it and we will continue to be. And so go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading here tonight, verse 25 down to verse 30. Hezekiah's first task was to purge the kingdom of Judah. Judah had turned their backs on God and they had turned away. And when you turn away from God, he'll turn away from you. I mean, you're not going to have God's blessings unless you're doing things the way God would have you to do things. And so we find that to purge the kingdom of Judah and to restore worship, they had to get back to doing it God's way. They get back to doing it God's way, then they would restore God's help in their own lives. Chapter 29, verse 25. The Bible says, "And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and with psalteries and with harps, according to the commandments of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan, the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. When they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshiped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped." Let's pray. Father, again, we come before you and we thank you for this, another opportunity to be in church. For everyone that's here, they've taken advantage of their opportunity. And I pray, God, because of their desire to draw close to you, I pray, God, that you would draw close to them. You would reveal to each one of us that which we need to have revealed, that you would just strengthen us tonight and bless in the preaching and the teaching of thy word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So the steps that we've studied that Hezekiah would take, the very first one was to point the people back to the temple. He opened the doors of the temple to the people, and he's pointing them to the temple. which God had established for them to come to him. It was a tabernacle as they went through the wilderness. When they got settled in promised land, then Solomon built the temple. And what a blessing it was when they were under King Solomon and had the blessings, the power of God. The greatest kingdom on the earth was under Solomon, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Israel. And what a blessing. But then they started turning away from God. And then they're to the place they're at now where they lost the power and the blessings of God, and they were about ready to be taken into captivity. So he points the people back to the temple. God would always point us to the temple, the place of worship, the place established by God for us to meet with the Lord. And there's no doubt in this New Testament Christianity that Jesus established his church. And so he would point us to the church. That's the first step that anybody and everybody needs to take if you want to be restored and you want to have the blessings of God back upon your life and your family and all that's taken place. It's connected to the church. This is a church age that we're living in. This was the time we've studied before that the Jews were blinded to. They thought they would go right into the kingdom age, and yet we have the church age before the kingdom age and the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. And so this church age is very important because the Messiah came that they prophesied of and looked forward to, and he came some 2,000 years ago, and he established New Testament Christianity, completed the words of God, the preserved words of God that we have today were completed through Christ. And so he pointed the people back to the temple. That's the first thing we need to do, point people to the church. People come to you for counsel, come to you for help and what I do, and there's a lot of hurting people today. A lot of people are so they're afraid to get out of their houses, afraid to do this, afraid to do that. We don't have to live in fear, you know, but you will live in fear if you allow the devil to just have his will and his way in your life. People need to look to the house of God. They need to look to God through what God's established, and for this church age, it's the church. For the Old Testament, during this time, it was the temple. Opened the door. He opened the door to the temple for the people to look to. Establish godly leadership. Got to have godly leadership. You have to have examples to look to. We have Christ, but we need others that God has established and positions in the church. Testimonies. Godly leaders. Pillars in the church. And just those that are going to live for Christ and needs to be testimonies that others can look to and follow after as we follow Christ, not to follow us, but as we follow Christ to see Christ in us. And so establishing godly leadership, he got the priests back to where they need to be and stop abusing the people, stop abusing the law, stop using the law for your own private personal pleasures and desires and get back to using it to serve the Lord. So establish godly leadership. We studied that. Last week we looked at provide the blood for the altar. Don't ever be ashamed of the blood. Don't ever be embarrassed about singing the songs of the faith concerning the blood. You know, stop looking to take the blood out of the Bible. No, we need to emphasize the blood in the Bible, amen, because that was God's plan. The whole Old Testament was about the blood that would represent the coming of the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ himself. And today, we need to look to the blood of Christ, exalt the blood of Christ. There's no salvation outside the blood of Christ. And so we need to understand that. So we looked at last week to providing the blood for the altar. Never lose sight of the blood. Tonight, as we've just read, the next step that he would take would be to present music. The music designed by God to do the work that God intended music to do in the hearts and the minds of worshipers. Yeah. So verse 25 to verse 30, the first thing we find here concerning the Hezekiah led by God to present the music in worship, they presented the musicians and the instruments of music according to God's commandments. Verse 25, and he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and psalteries and with harps according to, that's important, underline that, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer, another very important position representing God to the people, and Nathan, the prophet. Praise the Lord for the prophets. For so was the commandment of the Lord by the prophets. So it's very important. We look here, and the first thing he does, according to David, who was a man after God's own heart, and we find according to David and David's interpretation of the will of God and how God would work through David to present music, for David was known for his harp. If you've ever heard genuine harp music, there's nothing like it. I love it. I wish God would send us somebody who could play a harp, and we'll purchase a harp for you to play. If you play the harp, let me know, because there's nothing like the harp music. Amen. It's just, I mean, it's tremendous. I've been to a couple of meetings and a couple of churches. I'm envious of that, because it soothes you like nothing else, especially as they're playing the right kind of music on the harp. Yeah. According to David and Gad, the seer, and then Nathan, the prophet, all who had been listening to God. Now, the people needed to listen to them as they were led of the Lord to establish the music and worship. First of all, we find here that music was to be presented by God-called musicians. Did you get that? The music was to be presented by God-called musicians. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with these instruments. And you'll see that he also had the Levites to sing the message of song. Now, I listen to other music from time to time, not very often. There's nothing wrong with being entertained by music. I think that you got to be careful about how you're allowing entertainment to influence you. We need to be careful about that. But not all music that is of entertainment could be used in worship. Now, I believe that any music and worship could be used in entertainment. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But music that is going to be used in worship has to be used by those that are called by God. Amen. Levites. Not all Levites were priests, but all priests were Levites. Not all Levites were musicians, but every musician that was to be used in the temple of God was a Levite. They were Levites. These are the ones that God had called and equipped to be used in the worship of God. The Levites were the ones God would use to play and to sing. Verse 28, he says this, and all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offerings was finished. So the congregation worshiped, but the singers were that of the Levites, they sang, and the trumpeters was that of the Levites and the priests. The priests would also be the trumpeters. All the singers and all the priests were Levites. They had to be Levites to be used in the worship of the temple, in the worship of God. Wow. Singers. Everyone that is used to sing specials in the New Testament church needs to understand that it's not entertainment. If you're looking to entertain, then find a job entertaining in whatever kind of place you want to entertain. They can be Christian entertainment. I'm not saying that, but if you're going to sing specials in the church, realize that that's a special position. That's a God-called position. Now, we're all of that priestly nature today as born-again believers. God, through the blood of Christ, have all been given a priestly position. And so it takes a born-again believer. If you're going to be used by God to worship, to lead the church in worship, you got to be saved. First and foremost, you got to be saved. You have to be a Levite, if you will. Somebody that God has ordained to be used to serve Him in His church. Don't bring in the world's talent to be used in worship. There's a lot of talent in the world that if they get saved, they could be used of God. But until they get saved, they are not going to use their talents for worship. But those in the church, those that are being used of God, the singers that are in the church, need to know that they have been called. That means that they have spiritual gifts, gifted by God for the task. They're to be used by God. Called, gifted, and qualified. Everything that is being done in the church needs to be done by God called, God gifted, and God qualified servants. We focus on the preaching and the position of the pastor. And it's very important because God has given us qualifications for the position of a pastor because he's got to meet those qualifications to be able to be used for preaching to the church. For pastoring in the church. There's a lot of people who would love to have a position of a pastor, but if you don't feel yourself God called, God gifted, and God qualified, you shouldn't be looking to pastor the church. And we focus on the preaching, and it is powerful. It is something that has got to be of God, being used of God. Every time I stand up here and preach the word of God, I have to realize that the people don't need what I have to say. I have to make sure that I've spent time with God, and I'm using the basis of His Bible, and I am being used of God as an instrument in His hand to bring forth the messages through the preaching that the people need. Everyone that sings special music in this church ought to see yourself as an instrument that God is going to work through to present the message of song to the congregation so that they can be stirred as God wants to stir them in a place of worship. That's not entertainment. You can find all kinds of entertainment in the world. We don't need the entertainment of the world. We need to come into the place of sanctuary. We need to come into the place of worship, and we need to be ministered to through music. Over the years, have had missionaries come through, and they just stop in because they know of the church or whatever. And there's been a few that I've had to try to talk to a little bit because They're living out of a van. Got four or five kids. I'm thinking of two different situations where they had four and five children, starving their family, abusing somewhat. I mean, living. And if God called you to do that, then praise the Lord for it. We need to be willing to sacrifice, and we need to be willing to do whatever to be able to serve the Lord. But can I tell you, you've got to realize, just because you want to be a missionary does not mean that you qualify to be a missionary. Just because you want to be a pastor does not mean that you're qualified to be a pastor. Just because you want to sing music in the church may not mean that you are qualified to sing special music in the church. If God's called you, He will equip you. How many knows that you're not equipped to sing in the choir? Praise the Lord for you that know that. I mean, no, you're not qualified to preach the word of God. And neither do you have the desire, which is the first thing. I've got to desire the position that God has called me to. He'll do something inside of you. He'll stir your heart. He'll help you to want to say, I just want to sing for the Lord. I want to preach for the Lord. I want to do this for God. I want to drive a bus route for the Lord. I want to teach a Sunday school class for the Lord. I want to serve in the nursery for the Lord. That's what God's doing in you. And so as you're serving God through His church, you have to be know that you're, first of all, called, equipped, called to serve. Every believer, when you get saved, God will equip you with something that you can serve Him with. These musicians, Levites. I'm sure that there'd be people in the other tribes that would say, no, wait a minute, I'd like to do that. No, you can't. Why? You're not a Levite. God has given the tribe of Levi. Not all Levites were priests, but in order to be a priest, you had to be a Levite. Not all singers. Not all Levites were singers, but in order to be a singer, you had to be a Levite. Not all those who played musical instruments in the temple, they had to be Levites to be able to play the musical instruments in the temple. Wow. That biblical principle is still part of the will of God in this New Testament church age. Singers. Called. Know that you're called. Know that you've been gifted. Now, you don't have to have the same quality of gift. You don't have to. Not everyone is going to have the same quality of gifts to accomplish the same thing. No, it's the gift that God's given you. And you know that's given to you from God. It might not be to sing a solo. It might not be to do certain things. But you can sing in a group, or you can do. It's in my heart. I have a desire. I feel like that God's called me to do this. And I feel like that He has gifted me to a certain extent where I can do this. And qualified. Based on God's qualifications. Saved. Wanting to be used of God, not to entertain, not to be seen, not to be able to present what you want to present. If you're going to sing and you're wanting just to find something that you want to sing, and you don't take time to pray to God and ask God, God, what would you have me to sing? You're not qualified. The qualification is to be used as an instrument in God's hands, not to be used to be seen. There's been times that I wanted to preach certain messages, but they weren't from the Bible. Yeah. It's because I got upset with certain things. And I'm thinking, I'm going to preach on that. That's right. I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I did that, I guarantee you that. And I don't think I would be in the ministry very long if I had that kind of mentality either. I'm just a servant. Called, gifted, with the gifts, spiritual gifts required for preachers, and qualified. Want to be used of God first and foremost. Yeah. These missionaries wanted to be, but they were not being taken care of. You could not see the hand of God blessing them and leading them. I had to sit down and I thought, you got to take care of your family. God would not allow you to put your family through abusive situations and things that you don't have to go through. But I'm not the Holy Spirit. I don't know. You have to determine whether or not you know this is what God has called you to do. But be aware of the signs. See, same way when you're saved, I can't tell you and shouldn't tell you that you're saved because I don't know. But you know whether or not you have evidence of the Holy Spirit living inside of you or not. If you don't have evidence of the Holy Spirit living inside you, you're not saved. Based on the facts that God has given to us and what will take place when somebody gets saved, what will take place with a born-again believer, old things are past, behold, all things become new, and you start seeing things differently. I can't tell you that you're saved, but you ought to know that you're saved based on the evidence of the Spirit of God and the promises that God gives to us as being saved. I can't tell you. All I can do is, and I had to try to share some wisdom. Just see what's going on and what I've observed and on and on and on. I can't have you preach here. I can't have present you. I can't support you because of this, this, and this. Maybe you need to spend some time with the Lord to make sure of the call. Because that which he calls, he equips. And he will not call that which is not qualified. So that's the singers, the instruments used. Through the years, there's been a lot of preaching on certain instruments being used. I love it right here because the instruments being used was that which God had a purpose for. In verse 25, it says, and he set the Levites in the house of the Lord. Now the Levites had to be Levites. Now this is what he gives them. He gives them the cymbals. And you'll usually find cymbals attached to a lot of drums and things today. Doesn't say anything about drums, but it does say things about cymbals. And with psalteries, which is a stringed instrument. And with harps, which is also a stringed instrument that presents a music, as we already talked about. I'd love to have harp music in our church. So maybe you start praying with me that God send somebody that has been called and equipped and qualified to be able to use that in our church. I think it'd be a blessing. According to the commandments of David, these very same ones who were looking to the commandments of the Lord presented to them the instruments. And then in verse 26, and the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priest, not only just the Levite, but the priests, which were also Levites, but it was the priests that would have the little bit different instruments they had with the trumpets. Wow. Cymbals, psalteries, harps, trumpets. But I think the key here was found in verse 27 when it says, with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. Ordained. It's how they're used. See, the instruments, you could take this piano and you could put an ungodly entertainer behind there and they could use this piano to play music that would not be glorifying to God. It's not necessarily the piano. It's the person playing the piano. The instruments need to be ordained or set apart for the use of God. We do need to be aware of the times that we're living in. And if we go back into the 60s and all the rock and roll and the preachers of that day, they did not want to associate anything in the church with that which was used for rock and roll. And the drums were the main thing being used, and the guitars and all that. So they outlawed the guitars, and they outlawed drums. And I understand that. And I don't know that I wouldn't have a set of drums just simply because of the symbolisms of that. But the idea of the stringed instruments, and you can use a guitar. You can use a guitar to sing ungodly music, or you can use a guitar to glorify God if it's ordained in the hands of the one that is using it, understanding that I'm called of God to be used of God to present music that's glorifying to the Lord. That's the key. Whatever instruments that you're going to use, and I don't like canned music, and that's why we don't use canned music. We don't just bring it out because I want to see who's behind the canned music, who's behind playing the piano, who's behind playing whatever instruments that you're being used. I know that who we have behind these instruments are called of God, ordained by God, desire to be used of God, and praise the Lord for it. It is going to lead to better, more powerful worship. Amen. These are principles that Hezekiah, who was a godly man getting Israel turned around, purging the kingdom of Judah, had to get rid of those musicians and instruments being used of the devil and replace them with musicians and instruments being used of God. Isn't that good? Yeah, they were ordained. So that's the music, musicians and the instruments used. And then the appropriate timing of using them. He presents that to us. Verse 27, verse 28, Hezekiah commanded the officer to offer the burnt offerings upon the altar. And when the burnt offerings began, very, very special time in the service, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeter sounded, and all this continued until... All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. They had a time and a place for the music. Planned music for the people to focus on. Focus on what they were doing in worship. The music can be very powerful if and used by God. Music to begin the church service. I tell our staff, 20 minutes before the services ever start, I want music playing. When people come in, I want them to hear music. Now, background music, not blaring, but background music, but background church music. Because I want you to know that you're in church. Whether you realize it or not, if you come early, for 20 minutes you're going to be hearing church music before the services ever start, because it's at 20 minutes that you're here. You might be fellowshipping, you might do that, but you're hearing this music, and that music is helping you to realize you're in church. Because you got to get your heart and your mind focused on the right things. And the music will help you. I want you to stand and sing congregational music. And the first congregational music you're singing is trying to get you to realize, I'm in church. I'm in church. before the preaching. Brother Buddy knows. It's supposed to be certain types of messages presented in song before the message, before the preaching. Because it's preparing you for the preaching. Now, we might have some fun specials that the choir might do from time to time or certain things, but there's guidelines. And sometimes Buddy will say, that was kind of close, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. You know that. And every now and then, we'll might maybe pick one that doesn't really do what we want it to do. And so we say, put that down in the notes. Don't use that again. That choir special, praise the Lord. I mean, it was good, but really didn't do what we wanted it to do in the place that we had the choir to sing it. Or the special that was sang before the preaching. There's time over the history of the church, especially in those early years, I would be up here and there was something being sang and I was saying, Lord, help me to keep my mind focused on the message. Instead of preparing me to preach it, it was, no, Lord, help me to say, focus on the message. I'm sure glad that we are no longer in those days. Yeah. That's what's music. Acknowledgement of God's presence. Acknowledgement of God's presence before you ever hear the preaching. That's what music, that's what we're trying to get using music to do. Same as it was for Hezekiah. He had a purpose for the music. He had appropriate timing for the music. An invitation. You know what the music is to do for you in the invitation time? Make a decision. That's every, whatever the, and Buddy, our music director, very good about this, whatever the message is, has a knack to be able to get the right invitational song that applies to the message it was just saying, and that's just God working in our midst. But in the songbook that we use, there's so many different invitational songs. Just as I am. You've heard the message. Respond to it. Just as I am, without one plea, bet that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God. That's who you're responding to. I come. I come. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Yeah. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home. Calling today. Calling today. Why from the sunshine of love without roam, farther and farther away, calling today, calling today. Jesus is tenderly calling today. Psalm 276. I can hear my Savior calling. I hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. So many different ones. Have you any room for Jesus? These are invitational songs designed after the preaching of the Word of God to be used to help you to make a decision. Place for music. Place for music. The appropriate timing. Gotta quit here, but the message in music. Verse 30 says, with the words of David. Sing with the words of David. The words of David are psalms. The words of David would represent doctrine. The words of David would mean it would be a biblical message. Every song that is presented needs to have a biblical message. And then the attitude, I love this, the last of this would be the attitude of rejoicing in music. Do you understand that the music is presented to help you to rejoice? When you have the appropriate timing, when you have the appropriate message, when you have everything that God has for us in music, then it will be something that is going to lift your spirits. It'll be something that will allow you to rejoice in the message of song. Verse 30, he says, moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praises unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with, underline it, gladness. And they bowed their heads and they worshiped. Over in the New Testament, Colossians, and I'll close with this, Colossians in chapter 3, verse 16. In Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 16, there's so many others, the attitude of rejoicing in music, Psalms 100, there's so many psalms that are just causes you to rejoice when you read those psalms and you sing those psalms. But in Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 16, it says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. All of them in the sanctuary and the worship of God, they would all enjoy the spiritual blessings associated with the music and worship. When you come to church, you ought to come to worship. But as you come to worship, take part in every opportunity you have to be blessed. If you're being used of God, make sure you have what God wants you to sing, the message that God has for us. And when you stand and sing, listen to the message of that song, because it's there to prepare you for something that God has for you here. And when you hear the invitation, let it speak to you. Let the music of an invitation song help you to make the decision that God wants you to make. Rejoice in the music of worship. If I could have ever had a bow tonight. See, what we're doing here at the Lighthouse Baptist Church is nothing new. We focus all the way back in the principles of the Old Testament. What Hezekiah was doing in purging the nation of Judah and preparing the nation of Judah to restore them to God's help, restore them to the blessings of worship, the blessings of praise, this is all part of it. And we come into the house of the Lord, this is our refuge. This is where we come to get fed, where we come to get built up, and so that we can live the Christian life today. Take it all in. Take it all in. Father, we bow before you tonight. We do love you. Thank you, Lord God, for Hezekiah and the life of Hezekiah and what you preserved for us to study this and to realize the steps that he took to lead it to Judah back to a place where they could receive the help and the blessings of an almighty God. And I pray that we today would do likewise individually and collectively as a church and for our families and homes. And pray, God, that we would just take in all that you have for us at every time we assemble ourselves together. Now, I do pray, God, for this invitation. And God, I believe we have presented exactly what you wanted to have presented tonight. Help us, if we have need, to make a decision even now. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.